Hey guys, welcome or welcome back to the channel McNally Money, the new home of power mining analysis. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about all of the exciting activity that's taken place since halving. We're only a couple days out, you guys. We've seen a massive increase in rune activity. Obviously, the hash price went berserk over the weekend. The mining companies were able to take advantage of this, capitalizing on some huge revenue opportunities over those first initial days since halving. And we're going to be covering the open here in terms of share price and price action for a lot of our favorite Bitcoin mining companies heading into the first week post-halving. Now, in addition to that, we've got a ton of other things to talk about in today's presentation. But before we do, please take a second, smash the like button, you guys. It's a big help to myself, the channel. Anthony loves it. If you're not already subscribed to the channel, McNally Money, feel free to join. And let us know in the comment section below, were you expecting this type of hash price activity? What do you think this means for the Bitcoin mining companies moving forward? Was this priced in or not? And which of these companies is your current favorite for the remainder of 2024? Now, with that being said, let's get into today's video. Okay guys, so what an action-packed weekend it's been since having no shortage of news in this space, as we keep saying, Anthony. But realistically, this is something that I don't think a lot of people were expecting. So just to recap, you guys, we had a big live event with Sebastian to celebrate the halving Saturday morning. Over 4,000 total views. We had about 300 people concurrently. So we really want to thank everyone for that. That's definitely something Anthony and I are going to start doing more regularly. Let us know what times, what kind of content, questions, format would work best for you. And obviously appreciate Sebastian stopping by. Now, in addition to that, Anthony, while that was going on, we had hash price absolutely surging. So I'll throw a visual up on the screen here. Hash price, everyone was expecting this to basically be cut in half. It essentially tripled over the weekend in excess of $183. I know you put out some information about this as well, Anthony. And then obviously that means for the Bitcoin miners, increased transaction fees and revenue, which we saw very clear from some numbers from Coors over the weekend. So a lot to unpack here, Anthony, a lot to talk about, not to mention the price of Bitcoin has been sneaking up and up and up while everyone was focused on these transaction fees. And that all results in a very positive opening for the Bitcoin miners. So big weekend, lot of news, Anthony. How are you feeling? First podcast or first regular podcast since halving?
Yeah, feeling good. And actually, I'll correct you there. It's actually over 5,000 views on that YouTube video. So very good.
Even better. That's a good problem to have. So let's talk about this hash price, Anthony, because this was something that caught me off guard for sure. So going into halving, we were sitting in the $100, $110 range here. Basically, this measures the amount of money or revenue you can generate from certain amount of mining machines in a certain period, which is a day in this situation. So this was expected to be cut in half. That's exactly what we saw after the halving. We saw it drop down to the $65, $70 range. Obviously, there's some transaction fees in there. And then lo and behold, Anthony, hash price went on an absolutely colossal run. I think the highest I saw it was $180, all on the backs of these transaction fees and this runes phenomenon. So what happened here, Anthony, and was this expected?
There's always an expectation about a number of blocks around about the halving. So there's a lot of mining pools trying to get the actual block at the halving. And so I believe that block itself was worth about 40 Bitcoin, which is phenomenal when you think about, the halving brought the amount of Bitcoin rewards down to 3.125, and that achieved 40 Bitcoin. And, you know, I seen lots of comments over the weekend where people were trying to send Bitcoin post the halving, and the charges were quite significant. So I saw one tweet where I think someone had sent about $1,700 and was $100 charge for doing that. So need to be a bit careful around the timing of those transactions, because, you know, end of the day, we did see that spike, and it spiked above 180. I think I saw it over 180 during the actual podcast that we did there, the live podcast. It was well on its way to 180. It has settled down a bit now, so, you know, it's gone back down to I think about 70 at the moment, which is still significantly higher than where, you know, if you think about where the halving, where it should be, and you're right, 100 to 110 before halving, That would suggest 50 to 55 post the halving. So it's still hovering above that. And I've seen some of the blocks this morning. You can check some of the pools. I mean, Marathon Pool there, they've achieved, you know, 4 and 5 Bitcoin this morning on some of their blocks. So still significant amounts. Bear in mind, before the halving, transaction fees accounted for about 0.2, 0.3 Bitcoin. So we're still seeing transaction fees of at least a Bitcoin slightly higher now. And that's two days after the halving. So it's really good for the miners. It wasn't expected. And this amount of extra revenues coming in, is the difference between make and break for some miners. So, you know, it's been a good weekend. Who knows how long it lasts for. But what we've seen now is that the potential that these other types of transaction fees, these runes that we talk about, the other types of the NFTs we had previously, can bring significant interest to the space. And, you know, that's great for mining companies.
Yeah, it certainly is. I want to talk about some specific results related to Core Scientific in a second. Guys, if you're not super familiar on runes, essentially my understanding is they're kind of the next iteration of ordinals. So the ordinal technology or platform was set up after the last halving. This is essentially a new and improved version of that, allowing people to create meme coins and NFTs and things like that on the blockchain network itself. Now, interestingly enough, Anthony, you talk about these transaction fees in excess. The first block, 40 Bitcoin. So you can imagine, you guys, the first Satoshi, the first block post-halving, that's got a lot of intrinsic value. Same as if you collect coins or stamps or currency, right? Imagine having the first bill off a print run or the first coin that was ever minted. Obviously, a lot of additional value built in there. But the new block reward, Anthony, it's dropped from 6.25 to 3.125. So if you're getting one Bitcoin on top of that, that's essentially a third of additional revenue in terms of the block subsidy, right? So companies who were able to take advantage of that over the weekend, specifically with all this activity, Core Scientific being one of them, in a single day, Core Scientific put up 57.3 Bitcoin, Anthony, post-halving. What does this mean for revenue?
Oh, it's phenomenal. I mean, that's 3.7 million revenue in one day. And, you know, great for a company like Core Scientific. Just came out of Chapter 11 3 months ago. So, you know, these revenues wouldn't have been planned in advance. So, you know, it helps them get to where they need to get that little bit quicker and maybe help to provide early payments for growing the size of their hash rate, which they've talked about, but not talked about any significant numbers, because obviously, you know, the expectation is the halving drops and you're going to get less revenues coming through. So, you know, they've done a sort of like a more managed approach. They've not gone for like 20, 30 exahash above. They've got potential to do it. They've got sites that they can increase up to 20 exahash. So they've got that, but they'll do it in a measured way. They've learned that year in Chapter 11. They've learned a lot about the company themselves, what they need to do. They've come out of Chapter 11. They've been strong since they've come out. I mean, every day they put their updates out, and it's just, you know, missed a consistency in terms of, you know, in terms of updates. And so when you're producing 28, 29 Bitcoin a day before the halving, and then the day after the halving, you come out and announce instead of producing 14 to 15 Bitcoin, you've announced you've produced 57 Bitcoin. And the Bitcoin price is also a little bit higher as well. It reached, as we were doing our podcast on Saturday, the Bitcoin price went through 65 at that point, and it's 66 today. So all these extra benefits to them, they're selling on a daily basis. You know, that's part of the deal. And people have been questioning, you know, as to, well, they don't have to sell. No, they have to sell on a daily basis. That was part of the deal coming out of Chapter 11. And they've got a really good plan in place to get rid of some of that debt. So they have got a significant amount of debt. But, you know, you've got to look at the size of the company. It's a monster. You know, they're a tier one miner in terms of production out there. Let's just put it in perspective. They mined 57 Bitcoin in the day after the halving, and Marathon achieved about 30. So, you know, Marathon have got potentially 10 exahash more machines in their sites, maybe not all plugged in. So, you know, we saw CleanSpark's numbers came out. I think 48 was CleanSpark's number post the halving, so a good update for them. They're on 17 exahash. But CleanSpark at 57, that just, you know, takes them further away from where Marathon are, and I don't see any sort of like catching up in the Marathon mining pool at the moment. Unless they're producing coins in a different pool, I wouldn't think so. Why have your own pool and not utilize it? So Core Scientific, just every day it's very steady, very, very steady. You know, you can pretty much, you know, guess the number that's coming out. But obviously no one was guessing 57. That's one thing they weren't guessing. It was great to see, great for the shareholders. You know, we've had Adam on the podcast. You know, he explained everything in detail about what's going to happen. I look today as the market opens and the share price is doing well today as well. So maybe the market's waking up a little bit to the valuation of Core Scientific and the fact that they're a doer. They do what they say. And, you know, not all the miners can say that themselves, but Core Scientific do what they say.
Yeah, back to the execution topic we keep bringing up, Anthony, and we're going to talk about some of the live opening price action here in a second. Two more visuals I thought were really nice. So one of the up-and-coming analysts actually from Canada here, I know you've chatted with him, Anthony, Corey Bertram Jr., he put out some really interesting graphs here and information about that hash price and the peak we saw right immediately after having in that revision towards the mean. So I would definitely encourage you guys to take a look at this chart here. And then as a result of that, you guys, you can really see the mix or ratio between block reward versus transaction fees and the impact we've had on those ratios in this bar chart here compared to pre-halving versus post-halving and the impact on the miners themselves. So interestingly enough, Anthony, while all this was going on, the price of Bitcoin managed to sneak back up over 65,000, I think, while our podcast was going on. And now it's up over 66,000. So that's another key dynamic variable to keep an eye on here. Not only is the amount of Bitcoin exceeding expectations, the price of Bitcoin is far exceeding expectations we thought we would be at going into halving here. What's your 2 cents on that portion?
It's been great. The only question is how long it's maintained. So, you know, we've had a great couple of days, but we are seeing, you know, we're seeing that that transaction fees coming down now, and it created a bit of a spin at the time of the halving, and you know, it's great. Everyone was interested. There's a lot of articles. I put 2 articles out about the halving, the week of the halving. There's lots of information out there, so there's generated a lot of interest in what was going on and people trying to understand what the halving meant. So there was lots of information and been put on social media, put into the space about this particular halving and what it means. So it's like anything new, you know, when something happens like that, you're always going to have a burst. It's whether it can be maintained. And I know, you know, when we had the live podcast, it was suggested this could go on for months. I honestly don't know. What we do know is, you know, there is interest in these ordinals, there is interest in these runes. And, you know, we've seen certain times of the last 12 months, particularly go back to May last year, the month of May, the month of December. Now we're going to have the month of April where we've seen significant transaction fees. Is it going to be a case that we get closer to that as being a norm where transaction fees take over? Bitcoin has to work. It has to be possible for miners to do it. And so maybe the transaction fees over a long period do play more of a part than just the rewards. For otherwise, miners can't do it. You know, at the end of the day, as we go through future halvings, unless miners can get access to energy literally free, it's going to be a problem because the rewards won't be able to compensate what's going to happen. So, you know, we've just seen the cost to mine a Bitcoin double in terms of energy price since the halving. In 4 years' times, it will double again. And 4 years after that, it will double again. And the power of that doubling is immense. You know, we only have to go back 12 years ago when miners were getting 50 Bitcoin per block, and now they're getting 3.125 Bitcoin per block. So there's a real change. So, miners have to, you know, can't always rely on the price of Bitcoin. So maybe transaction fees will play a part going forward in the future. And I've seen many, you know, top reporters and analysts in this space talk about this at the various conferences. So it's always worth, you know, looking back at some of the videos from these conferences on this particular subject. There's a lot of information out there. And this goes to show what happened the last few days, you know, could be the start of something new.
It sure could. And speaking of that, Anthony, that's a perfect segue to the live open here. So I've got a screenshot. Every single miner that I follow, at least on this page of my portfolio, is in the green, you guys, today. Now, you mentioned our live stream, Anthony. So quick comment on that. We launched two things kind of over the weekend for the halving. We launched the live stream, which we're going to try and continue to do maybe weekly or bi-weekly. We also launched a Spotify podcast where you can actually download all of our podcasts. If you want to listen on the go or in the car or at the gym, we've had a tremendous uptake there. I really wasn't expecting that. So go check that out as well, you guys. The other thing I wanted to mention, our good friend Romain at Sato Technologies actually screenshotted a portion of our live stream. So I wanted to just identify and recognize the Bitcoin mining guy did this as well. Just the amount of access we've got to these CEOs. We've also got Iron on the channel today coming to answer your questions about AI. This is unprecedented, you guys. The fact that while we're talking about Bitfarms on a podcast, Anthony's able to reach out to Ben. While we're talking about an ATM with CleanSpark, I'm able to text Matt. There's so much activity from the leadership team and the C-suite here in this space, you guys. We really are spoiled, and we really do appreciate the two-way feedback between these companies and the investors and the retail audience that we serve. So I just wanted to call that out. Romain, thanks so much for stopping by. Obviously, Sato is one that we really like on the channel. Huge efficiency production metrics, an up-and-coming company in our opinion, and we really appreciate you stopping by. Now, that being said, Anthony, Sato is one of the companies that's in the green here today, fortunately, along with a number of others that we cover on the channel, most notably Riot, which is up in excess of, I think, 8% now, Anthony, on the big news of Corsicana Energizing. So obviously a very exciting morning for a lot of these miners. I wish the hash price was still where it was at on Saturday, but the miners look green across the board, obviously responding very well to this news.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's great. And just to go back to your, discussion about, having access to the CEOs, I mean, bear in mind, go back 3 years ago, and a lot of people would argue, Peter Wall started this off, with Argo Blockchain. He was doing, podcasts literally on a weekly basis. And so, we just need to be grateful at the same time thankful, and not have to set our expectations too high, because what happened then in sort of 2021 is the shareholders were expecting it's continued week after week. And it's great when the Bitcoin price has been rising, and for the last sort of 16 months we've seen literally a green Bitcoin every month, the increase in price. When it dropped down to 15,500 and people weren't buying it then, and now it's at 65,000. So it's great when times are green and everyone's happy, and CEOs and chief mining officers and CFOs can't wait to get on spaces and everything like that, and let people know how great things are. The challenge is the expectation when things aren't going quite as good, and do they make the same effort to come on to the channels at them point in time? So I just want to give people a sort of just be careful about expectation in this space. Things can happen, challenging things can happen, very quickly. And I think it's amazing that we get the access that we do. We just have to be careful that we don't over expect from the miners. There's certain things they can't talk about, and it's good that they're clear on some of these meetings that if it's not in the public domain, they're certainly not going to tell us on our channel or any other channel or any of the spaces meeting. But it's nice to see and most of them are doing it. We go back, it's literally one or two a few years ago, and now it's I was on the spaces meeting the other day. I think there was like four or five CEOs on the spaces meeting, so there's plenty of interest out there, but we want to, it's great that we can be educated, because I said before, every day I'm learning every day. I don't know anything. I'm like the tip of the iceberg, me. I mean, there's another six-sevenths of my, information to be learned in this space. And that goes for everybody else. This is, this is new to everybody. We talked about how long these mining companies have been set up. And even some of the big names that you talk about now, the CleanSparks, the Cyphers, been around 3 years. It's not, they're not like, old Bitcoin mining companies. The oldest mining company we talked about yesterday on the previous podcast, is Hive Digital, with Bitfarms and Hut. That's about 6 years. towards the end of 2017, Hive were a public company. And so, you know, we're still learning in this space. Everyone's learning every day. And, you know, obviously, hopefully, they're all learning from some of the lessons that, you know, the failures that they've had during those 3 years, because every miner's made mistakes. Believe you me, they've all made mistakes. But it's seeing how quickly those can learn and those can drive growth in times when it's challenging, when you haven't got as many levers to grow in that space that they had maybe 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. And if you're the tip of the iceberg, Anthony, I guess I'm the little penguin on top of the iceberg or something like that. You talk about how quickly things can shift here, Anthony. TerraWulf is up over 20% in the last 5 trading sessions. Iren is up over 16%. So a lot of these companies, they were down and out. There was very low sentiment, oversold situation in a lot of these tickers leading into halving. And since having over these first couple trading sessions, you guys, they are sneaking back and they're sneaking back quick. So it'll be very interesting to see how we close this week, how the price of Bitcoin reacts to this halving event. But definitely things are looking favorable and I would say better than anticipated. So far, so good.
Yeah, absolutely. But remember, the last couple of weeks, we've seen a little bit of green shoots. But, you know, from the start of the year, you know, there's only one miner that's actually, you know, in the green from January the 1st. We've articulated that a few times. You know, it's CleanSpot. Most of the miners are about 30% down on average. So, you know, still a way to go to get back to, you know, to where they need to be, even sort of like from late December.
Makes sense. Yeah, still some work to be done, but we're on the right track. You guys, very exciting a couple days here, a couple hours since halving. It'll be interesting to watch how the hash price, the share price, and the price of Bitcoin all work together here. Hopefully green is what we're hoping for, you guys. We have Iren on later this afternoon. We're going to be putting that video out first thing tomorrow morning, so stay tuned for that one. Deep dive into their AI poolside agreement and their strategy and outlook for HPC moving forward. And then we'll be back, Anthony and myself, for another podcast to keep you guys updated on all of the activity and action in the Bitcoin mining space. Anthony, I'll kick it back to you for closing thoughts. Thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, no, it's great. And, you know, please put in the comments, you know, if you manage to see the live podcast, if you want more of them. And, you know, we can start, you know, doing those more frequently as to how people want us. So put some ideas into the podcast, how frequently you want to see these live podcasts. And we'll try to meet that requirement. But it was really fun to do, and Sebastian was great. I've been on Sebastian's channel, so it was given an opportunity to come onto our channel, and yeah, it was a good session. And we, you know, it's great having, you know, I think we're fairly similar in views on Jeremy mostly, but there's a couple of areas that, you know, we sort of had differences, and that's always good to have as well. You know, if everyone had the same opinion, it'd be a boring life, wouldn't it, really? But it's good to have, you know, it's good to have different opinions. And just to see how those opinions come out when we look at, you know, in 6 to 12 months' time, you know, how we fare from that.
Indeed. Variety is the spice of life, Anthony. You guys, if you're still watching, obviously you're a dedicated viewer. So please go over, check out our podcast. Give us a follow on Spotify. It would mean the world to us. Leave a comment below. Subscribe to the channel, you guys, and we'll see you tomorrow.